Hello. Thank you all for being here today, or this evening. I know there are many other things that we could all be doing, so thankful that everyone chose to be here. Now, I'm sure many of us are familiar with the story, or the parable of the prodigal son. I'll go ahead and give a quick recap for anyone who hasn't heard it in a while. It starts off with a father and his two sons. Now, the youngest son asks his father for his share of the inheritance. We don't know how old they are, how old the father is, but that's not something that's usually done while the father is still alive. But the father does oblige, and he divides up his property between his two sons. Before long, the younger son runs off to a distant land so he can live lavishly and squander his wealth with extravagant style. And pretty soon his inheritance runs dry. And to add to the son's sorrow, right about that time, a terrible famine sweeps across the country he moved to, forcing him to do what all sons hate, get a job. He ended up having to go feed the pigs of a local citizen. And while doing so, he found himself longing to share the slop with the pigs that he was feeding. And in doing so, he had a realization that he would be better off as a slave in his father's house than working as he was now. So he set his way back home and was rehearsing what he wanted to say to his father. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." That's what he wanted at that time. Once he got to the house, his father saw him from a ways away and ran up to greet him and embraced him with a kiss. And before the son was even able to finish reciting the words he'd prepared for his father cut him off and told his servants to fetch the good clothes and to kill the fattened calf so that we could have a celebration. Then they danced and partied, and everyone lived happily ever after, with a perfect Hollywood ending. But that's not really where the story ends. You see, we still have the older brother, who had stayed there with his father. And I'm going to go ahead and read his part from Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 25 through 31. "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called to one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father says, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" And that's where Jesus leaves the story with us. He doesn't wrap it up in a nice bow and give it a happy ending, because Jesus knew something about the crowd then and about us now as we read it. While there are some of us here who can relate with the younger son, personally, I've never been in a position where I long to eat pig slop. And I think I can speak for quite a few of us here. I think some of you would agree with that. But I think if we're truly honest with ourselves, there's a good deal of us that can relate to the older brother here. Listen carefully as I again read over the words the older brother said to his father. "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.'" He doesn't outright say it, but there's one thing loud and clear here. That's not fair. The older son feels like he's been slighted. And it's just it's just not fair, Dad. Why would you give the son the best of the calf you have to offer? And so let's go ahead and look at three specific things the older brother says. First, he says, "All these years I have been slaving away for you and never disobeyed your orders." And I think from that we can determine that he hasn't been working for his father out of love, out of joy for sharing his father's household. He's been working out of obligation, like a slave. He thought that if he worked hard and followed all of his father's commands explicitly, that eventually he could earn this place of honor where his father would slay the fattened calf for him and throw a party for him and his friends. That actually brings me to the second part, where he says, "You never even gave me a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends." This one can be kind of easy to overlook, but I feel it's important to notice that he says he wants to celebrate with his friends. He doesn't say so that we can have a feast together or so that I can celebrate with my brother and father. No, he wants to celebrate out with his friends, away from his father's house, where he can be the guest of honor at his own feast with his friends. And the last thing I want to point out to you about this is how he refers to his own brother. He says, "This son of yours." He doesn't say, "When my brother." No, he says, "This son of yours." It seems to me that, well, the older brother had stayed present in his father's house, that he was just as lost as his brother was. And how easy is it for us to fall into that same trap? I know I've been there. I know in my head that there's nothing I can do to earn heaven, to earn God's grace, to earn his favor, the blessings he shows for me. But on some level, I still try towards it. I still work hard in the hopes that work hard in the hopes that God will honor me. And that's not bad in of itself, but when you combine it with jealousy towards those that you deem less worthy of those honors, that's when we really start to get into trouble, when we compare ourselves to those who we feel haven't worked as hard as we have. I'd like to jump over to another parable for a moment. This is another one that I'm sure most of us have heard at least once or so. And that's the story of the vineyard workers. It's found in the beginning of the 20th chapter of Matthew. And basically, there's an owner of an estate, and he sets out early in the morning, and he hires some workers to go to his field and to work and harvest. A few hours later, he finds himself in town, and he hires a few more workers like he did before. And then again, at noon, at 3 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock, we know he hired more and more workers to keep working his fields. And then the end of the day comes, and he calls all of the workers in to be paid, and he pays every one of them a fair day's working wage. Now, some of the workers who were hired first were outraged at this. They asked, "Why these people have only worked for an hour, why do they get the same wages as we do? Why were they given a full day's compensation for such little work?" And the estate owner's response, as we read it, goes, "Friends, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take it and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be angry because I'm kind?" The workers who claimed that's not fair, they're not too far away from the older brother. But the truth of the matter is that grace isn't fair. Grace, by its very definition, is treating people better than they deserve. It's not fair. None of us deserve grace. But sometimes I think we can forget that. And sometimes we can get to thinking that if we're, if we be good boys and girls, that when we see others receive grace that we feel is undeserved, that can be insulting to us. We can get to feeling that, we've worked for our place, but they haven't. Even more so when we feel that we've earned more blessings than God has been giving us. Maybe you have been praying for months and months about some sort of healing, and you see someone else who gets an injury and begins praying, and a couple days later, you know, they're all fine. Well, why, God? I've been praying for so long about my healing or about my promotion or this or that, this thing that we think we deserve because we've been putting in, you know, our work and we've put in our prayer hours for it, or however you look at it. So when we see other people that we perceive have gotten greater blessings for less work, that can put us in a bad place. And something that we forget during that time, and something that the older brother had forgotten, is exactly what his father said to him at the end of the story. "My son," the father says, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." Now, just like the father has said that to his son, that's what God says to us. He says, "My sons and daughters, you are always with me. Jesus has paid for you. Because of his grace, you're all covered. Everything I have is yours." And that's how Jesus leaves us with the tale. It's unfinished because Jesus leaves the next step up to us. Or at least those of us that relate with the older brother. Do we stay out in the darkness outside of the father's house, angry because there's a party for the younger brother who didn't deserve it? Or do we enter in the house and celebrate with the whole family? If you would like to join our father's house, or you have need of prayers from your brothers and sisters, please come forward while we sing the invitation song.